So it's between, the only eligible votes are Mr. Buchanan and Mr. Cole. So we have a new chairman that is Drew Buchanan, 6-3.
All right. Can we legally clap?
This was at the Citizens Police Advisory Committee last night. They had to find a new chair because Joe Marshall needed to leave the committee because of health concerns and a bunch of other stuff. And so they had to elect a new chair. And that was a weird process because, you know, one person would nominate somebody and they'd be like, nah, but I'll nominate this person. And I'm like, I don't think so, but I'll nominate that person. And it was finding the people who were willing. And Jonathan Green, who had a baby, congratulations, Jonathan Green, wasn't there, but everybody kind of figured he probably would want to be at least put in for nomination. So eventually, Kyle Cole, Buchanan and Drew Buchanan and also Jim Green were put up for this, and then finally through a process, so there were not enough votes to get a majority. Buchanan had 5 on the first ballot out of 10, and then one person left after the first round, and so they put it back to 2, and he eventually won. I actually think this makes a lot of sense. I think Drew Buchanan brings a lot of sort of skill and diplomacy to this, and I think he'll do a good job of heading it up. Joining us now, we have Grover Robinson, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. You were there last night. We heard your voice on the audio. One question for you, though, is, I think Drew is going to do a good job at this. Is it weird at all to have a white guy leading this committee, in your opinion? Is that going to hamper them in any way?
I think it's the right thing that the committee feels. And you know, before we came on here, you and I had a little bit of a conversation that this is their committee. They've very much worked it. I mean, they will make a presentation. The city will respond to the things that we can respond to. But we've been very careful to allow this committee full ability to do what they want to do. I mean, this isn't, we felt like, you know, if we were too hands-on an organization, it would be very much seen as, well, this is the city trying to control it.
Yeah.
So again, some of what you feel in there is this inconsistent up and down, because we really have tried to allow them to have, workability, you know, and have really the leadership of it. It's not something the city has been pushing. So, I mean, my whole goal is to stay away from issues of who's chairman, what's going on. You know, they've taken up a lot of issues that aren't issues the city can address. Last night I tried to address that with them that, you know, I certainly understand and I appreciate your discussion and your things, but we've been very clear about things we can do and things we can't do. And if you don't like those, then we certainly think you need to go to Tallahassee where you can control some of those.
Right.
And again, if your ideas become law, we will follow whatever is the law. So, you know, there's always a lot of frustration, whether it's 5G or other stuff. People that are controlled in Tallahassee, they end up coming down to city and county and get upset at them, even though we have nothing to do with it. We can't change those laws. Our whole goal is to enforce the laws of the state of Florida, and I think to put our police officers in a position where they're unsure about where they are or something else about what they've got to do, that's the wrong thing. Just
yeah.
If it's the law, they will enforce the law. That's their job. They enforce it equally on everyone, and I think that's just the better way for us to do, especially as we're looking at all these things. But I understand there are a number of issues they want to look at, and we have tried to allow them, you know, their ability to do it and allow them in some ways you've had these awkward parts in there. But I think that's just part of having this discussion and dialogue. There are going to be awkward times.
It's been frank, and I actually appreciate that happening as well. And like you said, kind of hands off, letting them do their thing while giving them a little bit of guidance, like this is your lane and that's not really your lane. So maybe just think about that. Hey, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, you and I talked about this Monday, and I talked about it earlier on the show. It's my perception that you don't have as much access to the governor as you would like. And I don't mean this as your flaw. I think that the governor is kind of, you know, available when he wants to be. And I think most of the mayors around the state would kind of say that same thing. But, you know, do you feel like you can get access to the governor when you need it about something that's important? Because
I think we have the ability to reach out to him. We've been successful in the things we've needed to communicate with him, whether it was getting the additional funding for the airport, whether it was doing some things here and there that we've been able to do, we've been able to get there. Now, do I have the ability just to call him on the phone and go talk to him like I did Rick Scott? No, I mean, that's a little bit different relationship. Yeah, you know, however you feel about Senator Scott, one way or the other, the man was incredibly accessible and willing to communicate with you. That's not a fault on Governor DeSantis. It's just they're two different styles. So, but when we've needed to, there are avenues we do have.
Okay.
There are cabinet members that I do have very good relationships with that I would pick up the phone and go call. So when we answer that question for you, Andrew, it's kind of a different situation. And again, everybody has their own different style. My style is different from predecessors who've been in my position. It doesn't make either one of them right or wrong. It's their style. But we have ability and we have connections to be able to communicate, and we are communicating some of those things. We hope that we've been successful. And again, I've written the governor a couple times on this, praised him publicly at Florida League of Cities. He for much of the COVID, he really allowed local governments to make local decisions based on local conditions. And I think that is what makes Florida a better place.
Right.
I think that's why Florida has a better response than a lot of other states. And I think in some ways the governor has, I always find it interesting that people go praise the governor from New York, and they seem to be in a horrible condition with COVID. And we don't have the same problem, but people knock our governor. And again, I think when he was allowing local governments to do what they needed to do to respond to their own local conditions, he is successful in doing that. It's a partnership. I mean, he is successful, but part of that partnership is realizing how he can trust local governments. And I understand one of his biggest concerns is dealing with closures. I would say, you've heard me over and over again during this process, Andrew, say our goal is not to do any closures. We want businesses to remain open. But the only way we see an opportunity to remain open and prosperous is at the same time to wear masks. And again, it is a small inconvenience. We understand the inconvenience. We would say, yeah, I don't want to do it if I didn't have to do it. But the difference between being open and having people able to go to work and make a living for themselves and us having to deal with the inconvenience of a mask, it makes it easy to say, you know what, let's just wear the mask. Let's make sure everybody has the ability to go to work and have a job.
Mr. Mayor, I know a lot of people have the perception like we have gun violence, suddenly a rash of it. We had the shooting the other day at 9th and Brent Bayou, that area. We had the one, of course, that we all know that took place at the Bermuda Triangle. Then we had another shooting overnight inside of a home. I know PPD and Escambia County Sheriff's Office are doing everything that they can. Are you concerned this is part of some broader issue? What is your message to the community about what's happening right now?
Well, we've been working on that, and I was just on Robert Hill's show discussing the same thing, indicating that we will be coming out. I've reached out to Larry Keith again in dealing with what we did before and bringing additional federal assets into here. You hate to see gun violence at any time. We had a more significant rash of this back in summer of 2019. We asked for the assistance. We were able to bring it down, and if that's what we need to do, we'll keep working to bring whatever assets we need to bear to help do that. But part of it is also, and it was expressed last night by Captain Chrisman at the police advisory, we are working to build a better relationship with the community, because at some point, we need the community's help. There are people who know what's going on, and this is just retaliatory shootings. And it is not. It's the people in there. I'm meeting with two of the mothers who are going into the holidays without their children because it's a horrible situation. And just looking at them, I think if you could see them and understand what they're going through, why is any of this happening? Somebody shoots somebody else, so you got to go shoot somebody, which then creates a need to shoot somebody else. And this is what we're dealing with. And you're right. I mean, PPD and Escambia County Sheriff's Office are working a very dangerous job to work to prevent that, and they're on top of it. But, I mean, we can't be everywhere every time. If somebody pulls out a gun, we're usually there responding. And, you know, it's not like Minority Report where we get some kind of a tip-off before the shots get fired. We don't generally respond to it after the shots are fired. So our whole goal is to get ahead of this on the front end and begin to address it any way we can. And part of that is really having the community work with us because this is not what we want. I mean, we are working, I told Mr. Hill, I mean, if you don't want to get into that lifestyle, we have all kind of opportunities. This is why we've been focused on the apprenticeships and our construction projects, aviation industry, and working it. We understand that part of the problem that creates this is a lack of economic opportunity. We are creating economic opportunity all over. We need people to say, I'm tired of this. I don't want to put myself at risk of getting shot all the time, because there are really only two options for you if you go into this lifestyle. You either go into jail or you get shot and killed. We need people looking at better long-term possibilities for themselves. And this is not unique to Pensacola or Northwest Florida. I mean, this is happening all over the United States at this particular time. And so I think we're working very hard to create those opportunities, but we need help also from the community. And so it's kind of this is why we believe we need to invest so heavily in developing better relationships between law enforcement and the community and what we're doing.
Well, and as you say, it's a multifaceted problem, from the enforcement end to the economic development side to even the education with Achieve Escambia and the thing starting with young people, and you know, all the other dimensions
Parent
of this
university,
issue. So
all the stuff
absolutely.
We're doing a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. Hey, Grover Robinson, he's the mayor of Pensacola. Always good to have you on the show, sir. Every Wednesday we talk to you. We'll look forward to talking to you Monday at the press conference. Thank you so much for the time.
Absolutely.